Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ here with you as we start off a week. A busy, busy, busy week as we've got the preeminent draft expert right here with us. He was on NFL Network all weekend long, and he is going to help us break down everything that went on, and especially here with our Houston Texans. I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people are really excited, as well they should be. You've got good football players that are going to be coming in here and hopefully changing this organization, hopefully a franchise quarterback, hopefully a guy that's going to be a defensive stalwart for you for years to come. I have seen so many differing opinions from experts. I mean, you're the preeminent. You're not one of the eminent. You're the preeminent. You're before the eminence. So you are a guy that I'm going to listen to since you're preeminent. Is before eminent. You're before eminence.
Right.
So I am going to listen to you about what you think. But I've seen so many of these so quote unquote draft experts. I don't know how the Texans did. Some think they did great. Some are really upset about the all the value that they gave up with the draft picks. Where do you fall in this deal?
Well, I've noticed that most people who are upset with the Texans draft, a lot of it revolves around what you traded.
Yeah, to move what up. You traded away, right.
Like, a lot of it.
I think all of it, because you got good football players.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I hesitate because I already know, look, they gave up way more than the trade chart said because they were just – they made a decision to get both. My guess is, I don't have this verified.
Well, it doesn't matter. It was for the number three. Okay, whether it was for the quarterback because it got less value. And let's just say it's for the number three pick. From now on, it's not. It wasn't for Will Anderson. It very well could have been C.J. Stroud. That Will Anderson would have been the second pick. They wanted both of those guys.
Right.
So this is what you gave up for the third pick.
Yeah, people get so caught up in, right. Yeah, but you don't give that package up for a defensive end. So
that's not it.
I mean, it's such a stupid argument for people to make. Basically, you can't – this I'm going to say it one time, and this is it, and then you can go back and listen to it. If you draft Will Anderson first, right. You now are battling against the Titans. The Titans had made a bunch of calls and kept trying and trying, and Arizona wouldn't pull the trigger. They wanted to see what else is out there because they knew Houston had already called them previously. And so they waited,
and
because they knew they could gash Houston even more. Look, Houston got gashed pretty good for the Will Anderson, and I think it's because maybe Atlanta had wanted to move up for Will Anderson. And so I think Arizona was basically, they knew Houston's on the clock, and they just said, we're going to play chicken with them. We're going to tell them they got to give us this. And I think Houston just gave in and said, okay, that's what we're going to do. If you had it's a real menace. If you draft Will Anderson first, the Tennessee Titans are going to go to war with you. And if you lose to the Titans, he's in the division, the guy you want's in the division.
Yeah.
So you have to go C.J. Stroud first. You have to.
Regardless, it was for the third pick. For the third pick, they gave up the 12th pick, they gave up the 33rd pick, and they gave up what looks to be probably a pretty high first rounder next year. Plus, they lost a round in the draft in that they got a fourth rounder for a third rounder.
Entirely too much. Entirely too much. So, you know, once we get out of the way, we can talk about the players because, as I've told people yesterday who I was arguing with, In 3 years, you won't even think about what the draft day trade is. It's are they good players or not? If they're not good players, you will talk about the draft day trade. If they are good players, you won't. So,
it's going to hurt is next year at this time.
It's going to hurt
when you don't have your first overall pick.
You don't have your two. Right. So that's absolutely. I mean, to me, I give them two. Now, here's one of the problems with this year's draft that you have to understand. Draft charts can be fluid for teams based on the draft, and once you got outside of the top six picks, it's considered a completely different draft. Like you're into a new tier. There's only a certain amount of players. Because Tyree Wilson had foot issues with Liz Franks in both feet, because Jalen Carter had character issues, it lessened the value. Like you couldn't trade back as far because you had issues. So with that said, yes, you gave up too much. There's no way around that. You gave up way more than you would have wanted to, whether it's quarterback or whether it's a defensive end. It doesn't matter. Once you got that pick, though, you got some pretty good players. I'm going to go through C.J. Stroud. He was the second-best quarterback in this draft, and he's a very accurate quarterback. He should fit this offense. Here are the concerns. Coachability. This is a real thing. He had some issues at Ohio State with his own coach, not Ryan Day. He was really a Ryan Day guy, and he didn't really deal as much with his quarterback coach just because he just felt like Ryan Day was his coach. So there's some you know, concerns there about coachability. I know he had prominent, he had gotten into it on a trip and with the offense coordinator, but I think the coordinator kind of started it.
So who said that C.J. Stroud has to trust you? That came out this past week.
Yeah, Chris Ballard told me that.
Chris Ballard.
He's got to trust you. See, Chris liked him, but he liked Richardson the best of all the quarterbacks. He just said, Chris told me after the draft, so I didn't know what he was going to do. He said, I couldn't be the one who passed on Anthony Richardson if he became a good quarterback. If he became a monster, I didn't want to pass on a monster. I was in Kansas City when we were going after Mahomes, and that was the first year I went to the Colts. But I had done all the work on Mahomes, and like we just decided we think Pat's got a chance to be incredible, and if we don't do this, I don't want to regret it. He said, I don't want to have regrets. I can live with drafting Richardson, but I can't live with deciding not to draft Richardson and watching him become a monster.
Right.
But, and I said, what about Stroud? We talked before and we talked after, and he said, he just has to trust you. He said, he could have some issues, you know, with coaches initially. But he just needs to trust you. He's got some, you know, his background is such that he's got a background where a family background and all kinds of stuff that you could look into, but he needs to be able to trust. He needs to be able to trust male figures. And so I think the real concern you have here is how do he and Bobby Slowick get along? I think that's a legitimate concern because his head coach is not an offensive coach. So he would go to Ryan Day, who was an offense coach for all the offense stuff, and just kind of bypass.
Well, now he's going to Slowick.
So he and Slowick, I think they may have had a little confrontation at one point, from what I understand.
In the pre-draft stuff.
But
Well, let's hear from C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, met the media. He and Will Anderson both met the media. And let's hear from C.J. Stroud on how it felt for he and Will Anderson to be coming here to Houston.
Man, it was a special moment just for me. Right when I got the call, I tried to lock in and make sure I just was clear in my communication, talking to Coach Ryan's, talking to Nick, talking to Mr. McNair. And I just wanted to kind of make sure that I wasn't getting emotional so fast. But right when I hung up, man, just everything that I've been through, all the hard work, all the preparation, everything that me and my family has done to get to that point. Of course, it's just a stepping stool. This is just the beginning. But, man, it just meant a lot to be there because it wasn't easy. And then so I walk on the stage. Man, see some of my friends, and I'm just like, man, I just got picked, so I do the interview. I'm walking down, I go say what's up to the Texans fans, and they said I was the only one to do that, to go down, so that was kind of cool. And then I look up, and it's like, the pick is in, but it says the Texans. I'm like, I just got picked, like, that can't be true. And I'm like, nah, they just traded. And I'm like, oh, shoot, they finna get Will. And so, like,
exactly.
I had, like, the biggest smile on my face. So, man, I was super stoked. Like, me and Will, we've known each other since high school. We played against each other All-American Bowl. He couldn't sack me back then, so we'll see if he can now. but, man, I was super excited. We were at each other in Texas a couple days ago. shooting a video, and man, we just were like, man, what if we were teammates?
That's great. That is
he sounds excited to be there. And I feel bad. I feel good for him because that's a lot. You know, that's a lot for anybody to live through in the pre-draft process. You've got to sit there, and there's nothing you can do for months and months. He goes from being the presumed, for whatever reason, top pick,
S2.
You know, with Carolina. So he's riding high, yeah. And then it turns into S2. And then, you know, and then somebody was asked a question, Brady Quinn, and made a comment. I think there are some maturity issues in his background. The Manning camp thing, I talked to somebody who was actually there with Papa Manning when all that stuff went down. Like, they said, oh, it was real. Like, the Manning stuff's not made up. So I think there's some maturity things that he has to get through. But from a football standpoint, man, I'm excited because his best football was against Georgia. And I think my bottom line write-up.
You had him as what pick as in this draft as far as?
Oh, as my in terms of rated player?
Yeah, rated player in this draft.
Let me check for you real quick.
Well, you had Bryce and Will 1-2, right? And then Stroud?
It was, my first was Jalen Carter. But do you want to count him? Right. Yeah, it was Jalen Carter. Then I had
as far as just football goes. It was Jalen Carter.
Yeah, as far as just football guys, let me select all. Then it's Will Anderson.
Okay,
was 2, 3 is Bijan Robinson, 4 is Bryce Young, 5 is Tyree, 6 is Peter Skronsky, 7 C.J. Stroud.
Okay, and but with the
that's good. Yeah, I mean, really most good. Quarterbacks I end up having there. Yeah. I don't know the last time other than Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow even had 3rd. That's because his draft was one of the most loaded drafts.
Yeah.
Pat Surtain and Micah Parsons. And it was like, his draft was unbelievable. And I think I had Joe Burrow 3rd, maybe 2nd.
Here's what D'Amico said he likes about C.J. Stroud.
Excellent job of leading a top program at Ohio State, been very accurate, making great decisions with the football, and being a great leader of those guys around him, his teammates. Right along this process, along the way, every teammate of his that we've spoken to from Ohio State have all spoken highly of CJ and the type of leader that he is.
So, did you find okay? Talk about CJ's accuracy. What did you have him? What did you have?
As good as of the top tier quarterbacks, easily the best. His accuracy was easily the best. And in this offense, you're throwing to players on the move and in stride. Stroud and Richardson were not for this offense.
Not Stroud. You said
not Stroud. I'm
Levis.
Sorry. Richardson and Levis were not for this offense. Stroud was definitely for this offense. You don't have to be a great at like he can move around. He's better. He's more mobile than he lets on. He just doesn't do it very often. But he's very accurate. He's a good fit. He's a good fit as a passer for this offense. And I think the offense really basically is going to the passing scheme. It turns into he just needs to read where safeties are going to be and what the levels pass when you get on levels, you know, where linebackers and safeties are. I think C.J. Stroud, you know, I talked to a team about S2 stuff after the draft who said it's important to them. They think it is predictive. But I think C.J.'s got a chance to be the first one who maybe didn't score great on S2 who does well on S. I think this offense fits him. And the way the Texans, I believe, are going to be able to run the ball, I think he's going to be a good fit. The leadership stuff, I think, is going to be very important. But the one thing I want to keep maintain clarity on is that the guy at the top, for the first time, D'Amico Ryans, for me, now he's got to prove it, but I think, John, he has the personality to keep everything calm. Like, Bill O'Brien is a tinderbox.
Yeah, right.
He just at no point knew, like, he's not a calm guy. Cully had no business in that spot. And Lovie is just a team with no talent. And,
yeah.
You know, Lovie never had a chance anyway.
Right.
Never had a chance anyway. But D'Amico Ryans is getting some talent together. I think he and Nick worked well together, according to Nick. And I know Nick had that, and we'll get to that in a little bit. So when we come back, we will get to the other picks. I'll give you my thoughts on all the picks.
Yeah, we got
to
hit on Will Anderson when we come back.
But Will Anderson is Will Anderson. The key to this whole draft is going to be C.J. Stroud. But Will Anderson should not be forgotten for what he means on the defensive side and not just as a football player.
No. We will get to that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we're going to talk about Chastain Ford. We're going to talk about order banks being open right now for F-150s, Bronco Sports, Explorers, Expedition, Edge. All of those. No markups. You don't pay MSRP on order vehicles. No add-ons. None of this is going to go on. Find out where you have to be with your payments and let's work it from there. Okay, this is what I can pay per month. Now, where do we go? You build and price your Ford your way. They got F-150 Lightnings available at MSRP on the lot right now. The goal is this. How about this? 2022 year-end models, take advantage of 0% financing for 36 months on 2022s. Get them off the lot. They want you to have them, and that's ridiculous with where the interest rates are right now. They also take advantage of purchasing a Ford F-150, receive up to $1,000 in accessories. Purchase a Bronco Sport or Escape, receive up to $500 in accessories, absolutely free. This is all happening right now at one place, Chastain Ford. It's always going to be a great deal. It's always going to be the best deal that you can get in the city. If you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car truck right now, one place to go, ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
See today, then we play all through the late night.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, let's talk Will Anderson. The third pick in the draft. Or he would have been okay. We're just not going to be complicated like this. The Texans' second pick, top three pick in the draft. He is an excellent football player. What did you have him? What did you write up on Will Anderson?
On Will Anderson, this is exactly what I said on Will Anderson. I said 3-year starter for vaunted Alabama program with eye popping production. Encapsulates his potential impact. Anderson's well-built, long arms. He has rush get-off and skill level to consistently shave edges to pry open rush paths and inside moves. Even when he's blocked around the arc or on the diagonal, Anderson's footwork, cornering, and closing speed helps him dive into the pocket. There's room for more growth with hand usage, and he will need to prove he can keep racking up the stats outside of Nick Saban's scheme. Anderson is suited to a 3-4 front where he can play wider, to better allow his length to overcome size deficiencies at the point of attack. His traits, athleticism, and production against high-level competition are indicators of a Pro Bowl future. And I think the one thing that I didn't have in here that's true is that Will was considered one of the elite character guys in the draft. So football character in terms of leadership and what he does. And I think as big as anything for football-wise is D'Amico Ryans really wanted to get a dude in here. Yeah. Like a dude who is not, when I say a dude, not just a good football player, but a guy who you can, a guy kind of like him, like D'Amico, yeah, where you just can feel their presence. Everyone knew he was a dude when he came into the league in 2006 as a second round pick. Anybody that we talked to, right, all the sound that you heard about the Texans, as soon as D'Amico came in, they could tell he was a dude. And that's what Will Anderson is. And I think D'Amico wanted one of those guys in the locker room.
Okay, so here's D'Amico talking about what he likes about Will Anderson.
All right, with Will, I probably watched him for a long time now. Seeing a few of his games, but just seeing, again, the fierce competitor that he is. Every time watching Alabama, when they needed a play on defense, it was 31. That was the guy stepping up, making a play. And everyone knows the leadership qualities that Will possesses. You can't speak enough about both of these guys, and it just speaks to their families who are here today and how these young men were raised. They were raised the right way. These guys really represent your family as well, so I want to thank the families, all right, for raising such great young men, also great athletes as well.
All right. So here's Will Anderson on bringing a winning culture to Houston.
Yeah, I think the guys in the locker room, they do a really good job. Those guys are special. They're young. They're hungry. And when I was there, I could just feel it. You know what I'm saying? So just adding more players like us to the roster, it just means a lot because we know what we're going into. And we know that the guys there, you know, they want to win. And for us, we're just going to keep our heads down, work really hard, earn the trust of those guys, earn their respect. So when we get on the field, so when we show them what they can do, they can know that the guy there beside is going to go do his job and do it the most, you know, the right way.
So D'Amico Ryans is, you know, going to play him. I think he's going to stand him and play him wide. And that's going to be really good for Will Anderson. Will Anderson is very technically sound, like every defensive player that Nick Saban coaches. It's non-negotiable. So he's a good technician as a pass rusher and especially as a run blocker. And, you know, we know he's got rush. I mean, you see the numbers, and he's got rush. So what he does is he adds an element where you're not just hoping. And maybe this is the year, you know, that Grenard stepped forward, and maybe this guy. Now you got a guy. I mean, you got a guy. Is he going to be a 15-sack guy? Is he going to be an 11-sack guy? You've got a – it doesn't – for me, it doesn't really matter because I know that you've got a legitimate rusher off the edge now, which is just critical. And you've got a guy in the locker room who – they say that Will Anderson is the guy who kept things – like, he's the guy that people turn to in the locker room for, you know, hey, we got to do this. We got to do this on the field and practice. He's that kind of guy. He's that kind of coach in the locker room, that presence in the locker room. So on a defense, John, where we kind of wondered, well, who's the guy? Because, like, you can't take Jalen Carter. You don't have the right kind of locker room for Jalen Carter. The Bears couldn't take Jalen Carter. They're not ready to handle Jalen Carter. The Eagles were one of the only teams that could take Jalen Carter, and then they drafted a bunch of Eagles, I mean, a bunch of Georgia Bulldogs around them. It's the Philadelphia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Because, and one of the reasons they're doing that is because they want to make, you know, because they know how much they have invested.
Oh, you know that there's going to be a lot of bull. Just, I mean, that's their identity, is they're going to be dogs. Mm-hmm. They're going to be dogs this year, that defense,
yeah.
Because they got five guys. Five guys on that defense.
And they traded for DeAndre Swift.
I know, right?
From Georgia.
That's unbelievable.
Undrafted.
They're Georgia
it's
North.
Unbelievable.
Here's DeMeco on how Anderson fits the Texans. You were just talking about it. You can stand him up a bunch. Here's how Anderson fits DeMeco's defense. Oh, hold on. He's having an issue there finding it. You got it? Here we go.
The thing about Will is he's a great player. So how he works in our defense, right? He's going to be a defensive end in our style. He's going to be a defensive end, attacking, getting up the field, right? And that's what he's going to do. A little different scheme, and that goes to show with both of these guys, right? It's going to be different schemes, but what I love most about these guys is their willingness to adjust and adapt, right, to what's coming next. But Will has been he's been a productive player at Alabama for a long time, been consistent in our 30 visit. It was just instant connection, not only with me, but with the entire staff. And that's one thing that Will did a great job of, just connecting with everyone, not only myself. So Will is a great person. He's a great teammate, and that's followed him from Alabama on throughout his next journey here. He'll continue to be that great teammate, and people will gravitate towards him.
Yeah, you hear it. I mean, that's the intangibles that play a big part in this. And that's something that's going to be, you know, you can't, like, I know some of you may get tired of hearing about culture or whatever, because we talk about with the Rockets too. But you really just can't, you can't minimize it when you have a losing culture. Like, Rockets have a losing culture right now. The Texans have a losing culture. They don't have players that are good enough. So if you want DeMeco Ryans to change all that, you have to change the feel inside the building as well. And one of the best ways to do that is just get the right kind of guys in the locker room. I tell you what, I'll give you an example. Joe Burrow, one of the things that, you know, they had drafted, they had some talent on Cincinnati, but one of the things that people said is when Joe Burrow came into the building, he just had a different personality, a different mindset, and players around him started to feel like you just felt differently about yourself. You felt like you guys had a chance. Now, he tore up his knee his rookie season. You know, if you go back and try to remember, he really wasn't able to do a whole lot that rookie year because he ended up in the middle of the season hurting his knee. But having guys in the building who you feel like you can get behind them and they can lead you, it's just such an important thing. You have to have it in basketball, football, baseball.
I hope CJ is that guy. We'll see.
I think Will Anderson's going to be that guy. But, yeah, on offense.
Yeah. See, no, you got to believe in CJ.
Yeah.
And we'll find out on the field. You know, they're going to need
time
that
will tell
on the field.
On that
one. Absolutely. All right, 7:25. We'll get to the rest of the draft, including Scruggs. And what about Tank Dell? Moving, man!
I couldn't be happier.
I know this is
can't wait
be fun.
To get to these guys.
This
too.
Is going
to
be fun. We'll do that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, though, we're going to talk about T-Box Texas. My man, okay, my man Daniel and Catherine over there at T-Box Texas, and all of the great people that are over there. It's unbelievable how good it is. What rain, shine? We got beautiful a beautiful day today. But tonight, I mean, you got to work today. You can't take advantage of this beautiful day. Well, you want to go play golf? Yes, you can. Well, on 100 different courses with 8 different simulators in this bar. Not only that, though, not only do you have the bar, not only do you have all the TVs, the sports bar, not only do you have the 8 simulators there, how about a simulator at your party? You want a simulator at your party? Well, they got that as well. All you have to do is ask, pick a date. They'll bring it. They'll set it up. They'll come pick it up a couple of days later. You got yourself a party if you want a simulator at your party. So go to T-Box, T-E-E-Box, Texas.com. If you're having a party, a big party, and you're thinking, hey, that's a pretty damn good idea, let's have a simulator there. Go to TBoxTexas.com. They'll deliver it, install it, and come back and pick it up. It's all happening at T-Box Texas. Look, you can't play every day because you work. You want to play, but you can at night, or you can when it's raining, or you can when it's cold, or you can when it's too hot. Doesn't matter. You got T-Box Texas to get there. TBoxTexas.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you, 713-780-3776. You got thoughts on this or more? We got to get through this whole Texans draft, though, and we start with Juice Scruggs. What'd you think? So they moved up to the second round.
Yeah, I was a little surprised they went in the second, but I thought Juice would go in the third. But Juice Scruggs was a guy who I remember watching him thinking, I kind of like Juice Scruggs. And there was no talk about him. He didn't. He wasn't invited to the Senior Bowl. And I was like, man, I kind of like this Juice Scruggs guy. But then, you know, I wonder, there's not a whole lot of talk. So I put a grade on him that was more like a fourth rounder, which could but could become a starter. And then as I kept going along, everybody I talked to about Juice Scruggs, they all liked Juice Scruggs. And I realized, okay, my eyes were right on this, and I started realizing, I said, okay, where should I put Juice Scruggs? And I was doing my draft board, trying to figure out where guys were going to go. Every team I talked to, I said, what do you think, fourth? And they go, maybe more third. And so the next team I go, what, 3-4, kind of a 3-4, like, yeah, probably three, I'd say top 100, though, so which is third. And so I just kept, everybody I kept going through kept having them in the third round. So what happened was once you had the top two centers, John Michael Schmitz and Joe Tippmann, go off the board, Juice was next. He was clearly, people liked him better than Luke Whipler, who went in the fifth round. So, and Stromberg went in the third round, I think.
They dinged him for picking him before Whipler.
No. Let me tell you, Whipler's a good player, too. I think Whipler's a good player and will eventually be a starter. But Juice Scruggs is also a good player. I don't think there's a big... You know, even in my grades.
Does he start right away?
I could see him maybe waiting. Now, my one concern for him is I didn't think he moved laterally all that well. So that would be one concern I have about Juice. Can he play in an outside zone scheme? I was a little concerned about scheme fit for him. I thought he was more of a downhill gap scheme attack.
So could it be Tunsil, Mason, Scruggs, Green, Howard? Your offensive line.
Yeah, although
switch your guards.
Switch
your guards.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's definitely possible. Scruggs has played guard and center, but yes, he will compete for a spot right away, and it wouldn't shock me if he won the spot. He's very smart. He's very strong. Very strong. And, you know, my only question is, does he have enough quickness? And the Texans would know this better because they, you know, are specifically looking for this, but I did question about some of the blocks on stretch plays, which are the outside zone, like Gary Kubiak would run with Arian Foster, where you go, you know, kind of attack one and you look for the cutback lanes. I think that's my only question.
So when they picked him, do you think?
I don't mind it at all.
No.
I think he's a good player. I just want to make sure that he fits in the scheme. You know, that would be my only question. But everything else is good with Scruggs. He's a good football player. I think he's a little more limited athletically, I think, at center than most centers you see for zone scheme teams. That would be my one concern.
All right. So next, at 69, they go and get Tank Dell. that's third round was about where some thought he might move up to the second round. But he's sitting there, and the Texans go, despite the fact that Mechie's coming back, despite the fact that, you know, well, I know that not no, despite any other fact, Mechie's going to come. How do they use Mechie and Tank Dell?
I don't know. That was the one thing immediately I thought about. And, you know, Mechie, I don't know if they have any concerns about Mechie. When Mechie came out, I thought Mechie was really more of a third-round pick. He went in a second. When Tank Dell came out, I thought he was more of a second-round pick, but he would go in a third because of his size. Tank Dell, I can't tell you how excited I am. Everyone, it was funny. At the Senior Bowl, so when all these NFL, when the coaches and GMs, they're not as up on these players. Like, you think they know all the players. They don't. They don't really know them by the time they get to Senior Bowl. That's in late January. And everything's like, Tank's so small. Tank's so small. Small guys get hurt. Small guys get hurt. And what I found was after the combine, when they watched him at combine and they had a lot of time to watch tape, everyone loved Tank Dell. Like, I tell you who's really good is freaking Tank Dell. And then I'd say, yeah, but what about his size? I said, yeah, I mean, it's a concern, but you know, he was never hurt at U of H. And you can't get hurt if they can't catch you. And if Tank had run a faster 40 time at the combine, he would have gone into the second round. Tank Dell, I love this pick. What does it mean for Mechie? I don't know, because you're not going to play Tank outside. Mechie, you might play him some outside. I don't really think you have that outside receiver. Robert Woods is there for now, but it tells me that they may try to play Mechie outside. I just don't know if Mechie's a good route runner. I don't know if he's going to be able to separate enough.
But what I think, both of them on the field when you go four wide.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then you're taking a good football player off the field.
Well, you don't have a tight end.
Yeah. When you right. But you know what? How about being as fast as you can be?
Yeah, no, you could maybe do some of that.
Right.
It's not really the West Coast way, but yeah, you could. I think Houston just said, let's just get some explosive guys. I mean, they're not gonna run look, Brandon Ayuk, there was a lot of replication between him and Ayuk and Debo. I kind of question, okay, well, they're both, you know, they both do some of the catch and run stuff. So how are they going to use that? It doesn't matter. Kyle Shanahan just wanted to get weapons on his team. And I think that's what the Texans are doing here. Let's just go get another weapon. Let's get a weapon. Tank Dell's too much of a weapon to pass up on. I'm extraordinarily happy. And he's an elite return man. If you didn't watch Cougar football, but you watched draft coverage, you got to see some of Tank Dell's punt returns. Oh, my God. I'd forgotten how good they were. I'd forgotten how unbelievably electric they were. So the Texans get potentially an elite punt returner, which is an explosive play guy in a third phase. And then they get, you know, a player who I don't think is really guardable. He was the least guardable player that I studied in the draft at all. And when you talk about, like, Steve Smith and I were talking about, you know, the wide receiver, Steve Smith, his concern was people press and Tank. I mean, when you watch him on tape, when people tried to press him, they couldn't. He's too good with his releases. So I think Tank Dell is going to turn into a real weapon in Houston. I'm very excited about Tank Dell. And Dana obviously knows him better than anybody. I think he's got great feet around the sideline. He has really great catch instincts. A few too many drops. He'll drop some. We saw that at times this year, especially early in the season.
Yeah, but he makes so many big plays.
Yeah. You don't worry as much about
him. Yeah, your big play capability just went way up. It's so funny how he didn't run well.
Oh, yeah, because his play speed is electric. Yeah, so I don't know what the deal was where how he ran. But I also know maybe for 40 yards he's not blazing fast, but for 20, he's blazing fast.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you would think
about it.
Because he's got the same kind of, I'm not putting Tyreek Hill on him, but he's got that same kind of explosiveness and elusiveness and inability to cover him.
I had a team tell me they thought he was T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I thought that was pretty good. I thought, that's pretty good. They said, what do you think about the T.Y. guy? I said, who's the T.Y.? And I'm going to the kid from Houston, T.Y., the guy's just like T.Y. I'm like, oh, Tank Dell?
Yeah.
He's just T.Y. Hilton all over again. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good.
It really is. And thank God the Texans don't have to play him because T.Y. Hilton is the greatest receiver in history.
Texans killer.
Dylan Horton. So with the 109th pick overall, they take the defensive end from TCU. What about him?
Yeah. So Dylan Horton played He played lighter in 2021, and he was better in 2021. Then they asked him to gain weight. Pretty much the strength coach at TCU wanted everyone to gain weight and get bigger. He's Art Briles, old strength coach from Baylor, and he believes in just biggest football players possible. And so Dylan Horton gained weight, wasn't as good. He did add over 50 pounds to his frame when he entered college. So this is a guy who has blossomed it. You know, he's gotten bigger and stronger. He's a powerful player. I think he's, you know, this year on tape, he looked like he had average explosiveness. But then when you watched him in Michigan, you know, he lost weight during the year against Michigan. He had his best game against Michigan in the playoffs. And that's the team who won the Joe Moore Award. And he had a really good game there. He had his best year in 2021 when he was lighter. I think D'Amico Ryans plans on playing him outside at a lighter weight. And I think he'll play at about 265 instead of in the 270s, which will be good for him. I think he's, for me, I just think he's a solid player. I don't think he's going to be a guy who's like super impactful. I think he'll be a solid starter eventually. But I'm not, I was more of a fifth round guy on him, which is fine.
But you need a defensive line help.
Well, he's strong at the point of attack. And I think D'Amico wants some bullies up front.
Right. Well, he could play.
And he fits his – and he can actually move around a little bit.
Yeah.
He can play inside or outside. So I think D'Amico has a certain kind of guy he wants to get in this. That's why when we talked about it on this show, I said they're going to draft a couple of – they're going to draft at least two defensive –
what are his measurables?
Linemen. Let me see if I can get his arms. 6'4", 257 is what. Now, he's in a two. Now, he's 257, which is his good weight now at the combine. 33 and an eighth arms, which is okay. But he's played in the 270s. So he was 257 at the combine. My guess is he'll lock in around 265 as he fills out his NBA, his NFL body. So good NFL size. 6'4", pretty good length, good strength. I say on him, I thought he's a base end and a 4-3 front, which this defense will be in four man fronts a lot. Adequate upper body power, but a concerning lack of anchor as a run defender, and it's a lot of that is just his bend. But also, he had to play. You know, if you move him wider, it won't be the same issue. He has room for improvement with hand usage, which could give his overall play a bump, but he might lack the requisite lower body bend and short area quickness to hold his own as a run defender. As a rusher, Horton's explosive takeoff and power to play through a blocker's edge are both translatable rush traits, but improvement across the board is still needed for the pro level.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I saw him.
Yeah, it's a fourth rounder, so he's obviously going to be a project. He'll be on the field this year, though. In this defense, he's going to be on the field, and we'll see whether or not he can hold his own against the run. That'll be interesting. And then quickly, let's go over Henry Tuatoa. What do you got on him?
Really good leader, not very fast. I think the speed is the concern with him. That's why I went in the fourth. A lot of people were thinking that he'd go higher. I thought he'd go fourth or fifth. Well, because the linebackers, there's a little run, that's why he was going to go fourth. He's not fast sideline to sideline, so sometimes on tape you see guys can turn the corner on him. That's going to be the concern on him. But what he is a player with good instincts. He is, oh my God, you know what my NFL comparison is? I just noticed this.
What's your NFL what?
My player comp.
Oh my gosh. Christian Kirksey.
My NFL comp is, you know how often this happens with
that
me?
That's not.
Well, when he came out, Christian Kirksey.
So Perryman, Littleton, Harris. It'll be interesting. He won't get on the field.
No. He's going to be a backup and a special teams player right now. Assignment-oriented linebacker who's played steady but unspectacular. He's tough but lacks thump inside and doesn't have speed to cut off angles and stop outside run plays. He's a good technician, plus plays a little more conservative than it will need to be.
He came from Tennessee, right? Went from Tennessee to Alabama.
It was a big transfer.
I mean, he's a little bit slower. So yeah. Why was he such a
big-time leader, very smart. He diagnoses plays well. He's unspectacular. He'll be a good special teams player. I said good backup to below-average starter could be his career path, whether he plays inside or outside. I think the Texans, well, do we have sound talking about it? I read, do we have some Henry Tuatoa?
No.
Sound okay. Basically, they even said, we think he's, you know, he's smart, and he is a player who is able to, plays with good recognition. He'll be a good special teams player.
But his slower good one, depth. That's not great.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Well, his 40 time was, let me see if I got it here, 4.62. That's not bad. That's not bad. His 10-yard split is pretty good, 1.57. I think his play speed as it extends is I would say he plays more like a high 4.6, low 4.7 guy. But that's okay. I think what he is you're just trying to – I think he is eventually going to replace Perryman. I think they want to play him behind Perryman, see what he's got, and he'll either be a backup. Remember Garrett Wallow?
Yeah.
We'll see what Garrett Wallow does.
Is they he gave still up picks.
That, yeah. I didn't like that pick. But Nick, you know, he's a special teams guy.
Yeah.
But Henry will be expected to be a special teams performer
teams guy
right
too.
Now.
All right, when we come back, what did you learn this weekend? We will do that on the – what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You have one sentence to tell us what you learned this weekend. This has been huge, so let's keep it going. One sentence to tell us what you learned this weekend. We'll get to the other draft picks at the top of the hour. But you've been hearing from him, his preeminence here. So let's go. Now you guys get to chime in what you learned this weekend in one sentence. 713-780-3776. Light up the phone lines. Right now, if you have any issue whatsoever. So my sister-in-law says, my water bill has been ridiculous. It's like doubled. It's like stupid expensive right now. I said, well, you got to get the guys out there. Mm-hmm. You got to get – I called Aqueduct. Billy sent one to Henry over there. Henry went and looked. He said, you got – he went and threw out the whole house. He said, you got nothing going on here. They're screwing you. If your water bill is ridiculous, you need to have it checked out and see whether or not the water – whether or not they're screwing you.
Because they're honest. I mean, yeah. They'll tell you.
They'll tell you.
Going on,
if nothing's going on, nothing's going on. Okay, they're not gonna create some kind of we're gonna have to dig your foundation out here. No, they're not gonna do that. What they're gonna do is they're gonna find the problem or lack of problem, and then you got to go at your water company. If you feel like your water bill has been stupid, this is something that's going on. You know what else is going on? Your tankless water heater needs to be cleaned.
Oh my gosh, that's something I didn't even realize. And one of the reasons we had sediment, which started to clog up our shower heads is because of what was in our... I had no idea. They had to clean it three different times because I'd never had it cleaned in six or seven years. I didn't know. That's not our job to know. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company's job to know. So whether it's a potential leak, whether it's your hot... Maybe you just want to get a tankless water heater so you have forever hot water. Call 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. Or go to the website to look up all the services they offer at aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 748 ESPN. Let's go. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? It doesn't have to be about the draft. It doesn't have to be about your baseball team. It doesn't have to be about your NBA. It could be about your NBA finals, but it could be about your wife. It could be about your boss. It could be about your kids. You learned something this weekend. What did you learn this weekend? So let's go. 713-780-3776. Tom is always good for one. Tom is always, he always has something interesting. So let's lead off with Tom.
Says something about Abreu? I learned Jose Abreu.
No, he's going to say something about a girl he went out with this weekend. He's our good leadoff guy. He's our Altuve. Let's get Tom in here.
Let's get him back off the injured list.
All right, guys. What I learned this weekend is that the crazy redhead is still telling people we're together.
Oh, great. She's nuts, that one. That redhead is nuts.
You can't,
Tom.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to shake that.
Yeah.
She's nuts. She's still telling people. Boy, Tom must be good because even long after they're gone, they're still saying they're together. Tom must be good. He's got game. I'm not going to deny it. Let's get Keith in here. Keith, what'd you learn this weekend?
Hey, guys. I learned this weekend that in 1936, fifth-round draft pick of the Arizona Cardinals, great uncle for Clayton Tune, was the Cardinals' first ever draft pick, 1936.
Wow. Wow, look at what you learned.
Wow.
Look at the, check out the big brain on that guy.
On Keith.
Check out the big brain on Keith.
That is a tasty burger. Great uncle was the first pick of the Cardinals.
Yeah.
No one knew that.
No one knew it except Keith.
No, Keith found it out. Well, we found it out, too.
Keith went digging, and now we're all smart.
Tommy, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Omar Khan is the next greatest general manager in the National Football League.
Look at look at that. Steelers fans are excited, and they're happy. The Pittsburgh Steelers drafted... Broderick Jones, he traded up for him, Joey Porter Jr., Keanu Benton, Darnell Washington, just a bunch of Steelers.
Darnell was a steal
Nick
there.
Herbig from Wisconsin, they're trying to get another T.J. Watt. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
Corey Trice, it was good, actually. Yeah, it was a good draft by him.
Yeah,
No.
Getting Darnell there, that was pretty damn good.
Yeah, he had a little knee issue is the only reason he
Yeah. Died. Well, but come on. Okay, a knee issue today? It's nothing.
Yeah, no.
Juan, ¿qué pasó, Juan? ¿Qué aprendiste
I learned that Maldonado might have some compromising pictures of Dusty because I cannot understand how he's always catching more than Diaz.
Okay, okay. You mean the guy that doubled and singled yesterday? You mean the guy with two hits? Okay. I just wondered if that's the guy you're talking about, the guy with two hits. I know his OPS is in the 400s, but he did have two hits.
Oh, you know what I learned? I learned that Dubon's hitting streak got broken.
Yeah. Well, that was a few days ago.
Yeah, but I've been out of town since Wednesday.
Yeah, no.
It's been a while.
Yeah, 20 games. That was, I mean, what did you want, 57?
Astros Clipper.
Were you looking for 57?
Yes. Okay. Right. What a story. It's like three of the longest hitting streaks in Astros' career, in Astros' organizational history are the Astros Clipper, Tony Eusebio, Willie Taveras, and Mauricio Dubon. Those are three of the longest. And I remember Taveras would just get infield hits that kept extending them.
Uh-huh.
Because he was the fastest man that's ever played for the Astros.
Let's get La Raza. ¿Qué aprendiste este fin de semana?
¿Qué pasó, Juanito? ¿Qué pasó, Lancer? ¿Qué pasó, RJ? Hey, guys, you know Jason McCourty?
Yeah.
Well, I learned this weekend, he can catch these hands talking about Memphis or Tennessee has the best barbecue and Houston Oilers are always going to be Tennessee. Boy, get your bald-headed ass up that stage, man.
I know, I heard it all.
Yeah.
I heard Tennessee. He was trying to say that to try to dig at Kansas City fans. You know what I learned? That everyone who goes on the stage now is trying to become who was the cowboy? The Drew Pearson that did it first?
Yeah.
Was it Drew that made everybody mad?
And then, what's his name?
Kyle Brandt did that. Was famous for doing that a couple years ago.
And didn't...
So now everyone who comes out's trying to do that.
The punter that's got... McAfee.
McAfee did it. So now a lot of people are trying to do that.
Stop already. Let's just make the pick. Just make the pick. I know what Sonny's is going to be. All right, Sonny, bring it. What'd you learn this weekend?
Yeah, I learned it's hard to beat a team three times in a row in one season of the XFL. They wrote us off, but we didn't write back. It's the Arlington.
Okay, one sentence, beat it. It's more than one sentence. Beat it. The Renegades took care of that business this weekend. Oh, the Roughnecks out. Renegades in. Our worst nightmare. Sonny's on the loose. That was more than one sentence, Sonny. Beat it. The other Eric, what'd you learn this weekend, other Eric?
Baseball in-game player interviews are distracting.
Oh, I disagree wholeheartedly. I love that Schwarber one. Unfortunately, when they went to Neris, that wasn't nearly as good. They cut it off like throw about three.
Okay, thank you, Hector.
Thank you, Hector. We appreciate it. Bye. I mean, but Schwarber was great. I thought Schwarber was good.
I think it's really interesting. I don't know that it's great for the player.
Well, but
what? I think it is.
I mean, he was yelling at his center fielder. Hey, watch this.
Oh, no, it's interesting.
It's interesting. Why? He could talk while I'm watching? Oh, well, it's not like I'm pitching.
One of these old school baseball guys who don't like it, they're going to blast an F on him.
I can't wait till it's a pitcher, you know? Oh, what are you going to throw here? Okay. I got to. Oh,
can you imagine?
That would be awesome. Ryan.
You know who would have been the first person to do it? Jose Lima.
Oh, yeah. Lima.
Bro, he throws the gas.
This guy, he cannot hit my fastball.
This guy cannot hit change away. He's coming change away.
Ryan, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned this weekend that I'm starting to hate Phillies fan more than Dodgers fan. Whoa. Jesus, it was late August, man. See me in freaking September.
Were they that bad? Are they that bad?
They'll
show up at your stadium, too.
Well, and they got a great football team, too. And they got a great GM, Howie Roseman. What, he's just good. 713-780-3776.
Hey, there was a rumor going around about Jake Myers hitting another home run. Is that true, or is that just... In L.A., they were talking about... Hey, and I just heard Myers home run. People were like, talking
it's,
about it at Rusty
oh, it's
Canyon
a scuttlebutt at all
the scuttlebutt around the country right now is Jake Myers in another home run. Like, y'all talking about the Astros?
At the water cooler. Yeah. Jake
Myers. A lot of water
homer.
Cooler talk about Jake
713-780-3776. John, what did you learn
when
this
I left
weekend?
Jake Myers was hitting 302. Now he's hitting 265. What happened?
He homered, though. That's all. John.
Man, I actually learned that Ja Morant is not actually good in the West.
I'm good in the West. I'm good in the West. It's got, you know what? Memphis made themselves the villain. Really, they started last year, but this year they embraced it. And I got to tell you, so I'm in LA during that series. Oh my gosh. Now, Lakers fans stay with it the whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm in a hotel and everyone's watching the end of game six where they're winning by 40. I was cheering for Lakers. I just think they needed to be humble, the entire Memphis team, to win by 40 after Dylan Brooks did all that crap and Ja Morant did all that crap. Good in the West.
Yeah, what I learned this weekend, I've got it pulled up and I've been waiting for it. What I learned this weekend is that I actually liked a LeBron James tweet.
Oh my God. Read it.
What is that word?
That's an N-bomb.
N-bomb.
Ooh. Yeah.
Unlike you, little N-bomb, I'm a grown-ass man. Big shoes to fill, N-bomb. Grown-ass pants. Probably hustled with your pops. Go ask your parents. It's apparent you're staring at a legend. Who put a few little N-bombs in their place before, trying to eat without saying they graced before? Ooh, how'd that taste, Dylan?
Okay, I was going to tell you this to save that, but just don't, because without context, because John could get in trouble. Okay, little N-bomb. Like, okay, what did that guy, what did that man say?
That was Jay-Z.
You got to have context with lyrics. Yeah, but that was Jay-Z dropped that on.
Well, LeBron dropped on Dylan Brooks. Yeah, it was it's Jay-Z lyrics. I found that for the first time ever.
Did you see the Walk of Shame? Did you see the Walk of Shame that Dylan Brooks did? I don't know why. I mean, Dylan Brooks walked from wherever he was. There was this long ass walk to his hotel, and Laker fans are on the entire path yelling at him, and he's just he's sitting there walking with. Like, if you see his outfit, you would. But he's just walking with security personnel and everything, just never responds to anybody. And they are hounding him the entire way.
Good for them, because he was an a-hole. Let's get Brad in here. What about the big brain on Brad? What's up, Brad? Give us one sentence.
What I learned is finding your ex-girlfriend on Facebook and seeing that she's 250 plus tax.
What?
Wow.
What?
Big
time.
What did you...
New girlfriend now is 250.
Plus tax.
Plus tax.
What did you learn this weekend, Dave?
What I learned this weekend is that Master Smack throwing out the first pitch was a great nod to a World Series rematch.
Did Yordan hit it center field?
No. The Mattress Max first pitch?
Max should have let Yordan.
I don't
know
if you heard, we lost the first two games of that series.
Yeah, in L.A. we didn't talk about it.
You didn't?
No, I just assumed we won.
Yeah, we lost the first two games of that series. Yeah. Yeah.
I just assumed we had at least one no-hitter. Did Christian Javier no-hit anybody while I was gone?
Christian Javier did not. But Urquidy had to lead the game last night.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Is McCullers back?
McCullers is not back, but you know who we could see?
Who? No.
We could.
No.
We could.
No.
Roflo predicted it, didn't he?
I know. He put it out there. He put it into the universe. Forrest Whitley
could make a major
league debut.
What about that? Who you want, Belac or Whitley?
Whitley.
I know, right?
I want to see Whitley. Yeah. It'd be a great story.
8 o'clock. We're done. Great. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? We appreciate it. As always, you guys are unbelievable. Right now, I'm talking. You know who else is unbelievable? Pro Dunk. Keith Tate is unbelievable. Keith Tate's the best in the business. Keith Tate and his crew, his family, everybody involved in this thing. Pro Dunk is the best. ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com. You want the best in temp. You want the tempered glass backboard. You want the breakaway rim, which is second to none, the unrustable stanchion, all of it. You want the insulation, which is second to none. They can put it on your roof or your garage. They can put it on, you staple it, not staple it, but they can attach it to your garage. They can attach it to your roof. They can do all of those things. I like the one, the permanent. We had the permanent one, which you can raise the goal up and down. Fantastic. It was just the best. You can get one that's unmovable if you want. You can get a portable one. You can get it all. But here's the deal, Dad, is the kids love to lower the goal so that they can dunk. And mine did. And the kids were in the driveway all the time playing. They're going to play when they can lower the basket so that they can dunk. You're looking for the best way for the kids to actually play and love their goal. Mom will love it, too, with the curb appeal. ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.